Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from Building 112 with an awesome researcher to talk about a really interesting problem. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Hi, I'm Navendra Jain. I'm a researcher at Microsoft Research, and my work focuses on extracting what we call actionable insights from unstructured data.
So for those that don't know what unstructured data is, could you give us a little synopsis of what that is so people can get a sense of what the problem is?
Sure. So unstructured data essentially is prevalent in a lot of online services where we interact with customers, and customers tell us how they're using our products, what do they like in our products, what do they don't like in our products, you know, if we have any competitors of those products, what kind of things they would like to see, and how we should continuously try to absorb that feedback, take action on it, so that customers get a good, and if not great, experience with our product.
So essentially, you're trying to get actionable data from the comments section.
Correct. That's right. So essentially, actionable. If you think of actionable itself is quite a wide, you know, term, because for actionable, if you talk to engineering teams, they would think in terms of actions as, hey, here is a problem. Here is something that crashes the app on my customer's box or their device. We need to go fix it. If you're from the program management discipline, you would like to understand how we are inventing, we are spending a great deal of energy and effort in, you know, rolling out these new features. Are customers liking them? What new things they would like to see, right? And then teams would like to have these KPIs such as CSAT, NSAT, they would like to know how we are doing, how customers are loving our products. So that's really, it's a very big dimension when you talk in terms of, you know, trying to extract this notion of what is actionable from all this great feedback that's coming from customers.
So we have like really two huge problems, right? One is understanding unstructured text, because I mean, when it comes to language, people might not even be writing the thing correctly. They might be spelling things wrong. And then getting from that unstructured text to even this notion of something that's more semi-structured that we don't even know what the bounds are, because actionable, as you said, different things, different people. How do you even start to tackle this problem?
Absolutely. Great, you know, great question. So when you look in terms of unstructured text, right? So essentially, let's start from the beginning. Right? The customer comes to our portal, they download our operating system, they download our apps, they run them on their devices, right? So in the background, of course, with PII, all this information, you know, duly confirmed and acknowledged by the customers, we are collecting some telemetry data to essentially see, you know, how is the health of the system doing, how is the app doing? And then from time to time, for example, in Windows 10, we have these great features called UIF, or user initiated feedback, where a customer says, hey, I would like to give some information back to the app developers, back to Microsoft, to say how they can improve our product. There is also system initiated user feedback, or what's called SWIFT, where a system from time to time essentially say, hey, we see that you're using, you know, our Office product. Would you like to give us some feedback or how we are doing, right? So you have this very rich data coming in, both from telemetry as well as explicit customer input to us, right? Where they essentially say, hey, this is how I'm using the product, but I would like to see some changes that will make me more productive, right? As you know, as our leadership has also said, in all we do, we need to be customer obsessed, right? Essentially, really listening to them, obsessing about what can we do at our end to make the customer's experience really, really a compelling one, so that they get the maximum productivity from our service. So when we get all this data, right, essentially, then we essentially, from our engineering team's perspective, they would like to understand, you know, we have all these different KPIs, different metrics inside our teams. So given this rich feedback that's coming in, how should we start translating that feedback into, you know, improving those KPIs to see, are we meeting our customers', you know, satisfaction, their what they expect from products that we're building, from services we're building, right? And this is all covered essentially in one of my slides in my presentation, where all this sources of unstructured text coming in, and then we are trying to extract these, as I mentioned earlier, this notion of insights, whether they are problems for our developers to go fix them, how do we prioritize these problems in terms of suggestions, so our program managers can say, hey, here are the new specs of an existing feature we should roll out, because that's what people would like to use.
Sure.
And here are some new features that, in fact, you know, we don't have them yet, but customers are asking them from us, right? And if you think in terms of from our data science team's perspective, they're essentially saying, well, we are really trying to build this great, you know, world-class machine learning models which can automatically learn from what these customers are saying to us. So given this rich feedback, can we now go and drive building of those models, continuously improving those models so that, you know, the end results gets fed back into how we're delivering the products back to the consumer.
Right? So effectively, we start with a, like, let's just say an Excel spreadsheet. Let's just, because it's probably with lines and lines of text. User Jim said this, user Jen said that, user Bill said this, user Sue said that. And then in the end, we have a, this product should have this kind of thing done to it, or this product has this problem with it, or this feature. That's what we're going for from there to there. So it feels like there's a huge gap. How would Sue Dev, let's just say Sue's watching this, I'm like, okay, I have a spreadsheet like that. Mm-hmm. How do I go from that to that?
Sure. So let's start with the baseline, right? So if you think in terms of, if I, you know, give you this particular problem, you actually come up with a good analogy. It's a spreadsheet of feedback data. Of course, we scrub all the PII data, so right? So we don't get any customer names. We essentially only get some GUID, some hash of their metadata, and really what we focus on is their rich feedback that they give to us.
So for those that don't know, PII is personal identifying information.
Correct.
So we don't know who's saying what.
Correct.
We just know what the feedback was.
That's right. That's right. And that's really our focus, right? Because we really want to zoom in to say, you know, customers across, you know, all our apps, across geographies, across boundaries, how are they using our products?
Sure.
And, you know, what is their response? What is their input for us to improve the products, right?
Sure.
So let's start with the baseline. You essentially, you get this unstructured text. You know, the very first thing you would do is you would try to manually go through each and every one of these inputs to say, okay, you know, what is this feedback about? Is it a notion of a complaint? Is something not working for the customer? Or maybe the customer really likes our product and they're giving us kudos to essentially say, hey, you know, great job, Microsoft. You know, this new app experience really blew my mind away, and I love it, and I tell all my friends about it.
Sure.
So, or it could be some suggestion to say, you know, I was trying to use your product in this particular way, and it didn't quite, you know, match my expectations, or I ended up, you know, encountering an error or an issue, and I would like you to take a look into it.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
So essentially, you start with this manual review to say, okay, from this feedback, you know, again, translate that to actionable. So when I read something, again, a human reading this particular feedback, and essentially saying, should I send this feedback to my developer, you know, to my engineering team to say, here is a specific problem, and here is some information. Maybe I could just, you know, email that whole feedback to my developer to say, hey, can you also read it? And please, you know, if you find that this is something that we haven't fixed yet, let's go fix it. Right? So then you essentially would go through this manual review, which, as you can imagine, doesn't scale, right? So essentially, but that is, you know, that would be sort of starting baseline. So what you would ideally want to do is that humans, instead of spending the time reading the feedback, they should actually spend their time on working on it, taking action on this rich signal coming from the feedback, right? So that's really where all the work we have done, and we have a system called SysSiv that tries to make this process automated to the extent possible so that we really get out of the box this actionable insights, actionable information, which is very fine-grained, so that developers can say, ah, so this is exactly the problem that this feedback is saying, I need to act on it. Right, so that's number one. And then number two essentially is that, of course, you know, we have a large user base, and we'll get lots and lots of problems, right? So for our engineering teams, they have this key question that you know, keeps on reoccurring over time is, what should we prioritize? We're getting lots and lots of things that we should fix, we should work on, but what is that one bug that we should fix that would make people love our products? What is that one new feature? Right, so that's the analogy to say, can we now prioritize all this feedback coming in to say, what is, if we do this one thing, you know, can we make a majority of our customers happy? Right? So really, you know, think of a two-step process. From every feedback, understand what's actionable, and then when you aggregate all this feedback, you want to analyze to say, what is the most, can we prioritize these work items so that, you know, we are making our customers happy, we're making them productive, you know, so they are satisfied and they love our products.
Somebody's obviously going to be watching, because if you're a Windows insider, every once in a while it says, how did you like that experience? So you can imagine how many of these things are coming in. How does someone like that's watching do this with data that they have? Like I'm trying to think of Sue Dev again. She has this spreadsheet of 10 million comments that she clearly can never read all in a single year. and then changing it to actionable things. How does one, what's that process look like? Do you start by defining what's actionable? Do you put it through some system? I mean, give us a sense for that.
Good. So again, so the, if you think in terms of defining the actionable, it's really, you have to map it to the end scenario, right?
Okay.
So we're essentially, so let's take a concrete example. So engineering teams, they want to see that, you know, if a bug comes in, and that's, suppose the bug is the number one priority, or that feedback essentially says, we keep, customers are saying, we keep hitting this bug. So then if you build a trend over time, we should, have we started fixing things? And you know, and rolling out these fixes back to the user so that over time that trend goes down, right? So
okay.
Think of if that as the KPI, then you essentially want to translate all these feedback towards essentially saying, how do I map this feedback towards those KPIs? So one concrete action item we produce is the notion of what we call problems.
Mm-hmm.
And think of problems translating into potential bugs.
Right.
Problem essentially, the definition is very simple. It literally says what is not working. For the customer, for a user, and then from the engineering side, they would essentially would like to say, can I reproduce the problem, right? Or essentially, if this problem is hitting a lot of our user base, you know, what are the characteristics common
sure.
across? Can I correlate even the telemetry data? So let's then really defining this notion of, you know, what the feedback has to saying either it's a problem, right, or a suggestion. Again, for the PM team to say, here is some suggested. So suggestion from the customer or ask or request from the user to say, can this feature be improved or can this feature be, you know, evolved to work in a way that makes me more productive, right?
Cool.
Right. So similar in form of delighters or what we call non-delighters. Delighters is something that customer says, it's not something, a problem for me. I'm not telling you something in terms of a suggestion, but I would just like to give you kudos.
Mm-hmm.
They could be positive, right? We love our product. Or they could be, you know, negative as well, because they essentially say, well, this experience wasn't at all I expected.
Optimal, yeah.
Exactly, right? So then you can use those criteria, you can use those mappings to define, to say now a problem goes into bugs for an engineering teams, suggestions goes to our PM teams, you know, these delighters, non-delighters go to teams who want to compute the CSAT, NSAT metrics to say, you know, overall, how are a product doing? And then you can also start having some more richer information from this that you can start, feeding into. Think of features for machine
mm-hmm.
learning models, right? So you take the feedback, you transform it into features, and then these rich features can now be fed into existing models or build new models, and we can continuously improve them, right? So think of that as the mapping from feedback to these dimensions.
I see. And so SysCiv is the software that takes raw unstructured text and maps it into that.
That's right.
So how does it do that?
Okay, good. So if you think in terms of SysCiv, I mean, the idea again is, and you know, if you're interested, I can go into some history of how we started into this process.
Let's do it.
So let me start with the history first. So this was several years back. We were working with GFS. This was the team or the group that manages our data centers. And we were working with them on network reliability. So at that time, an ask came from someone at the VP level, the vice president level, to say, we have a large networking vendor who is offering to upgrade our older network devices or older network gear with their latest and, you know, greatest hardware
sure.
devices to say, and this will hopefully, the intent is that will make our systems run faster, have more capacity, be more reliable, right? That was the intent. And then the question really was, you know, before we sign this 8-figure check, right, can we check if we are making the right decision, right? Is it really worth the upgrade? And if you look in terms of to answer that question, I mean, the gist really is you have two device, you know, families, device A and device B. A is older, B is newer, and we have both. And you want to do a heads-to-heads, you know, comparison of cost, reliability,
sure.
and everything. But how do you do that, right? You can essentially go ask human operators who work on this, and they will tell you, well, I fixed a problem last week on device A, so that's bad. Or, well, you know, I fixed something on device B, so device B is bad, right? So it's very, very anecdotal driven. But what you would really like is a data-driven
sure.
answer. So when we looked in terms of answering this question, we looked at these, what are called network tickets. So these are, think of diaries that our operators or engineers write when they try, you know, when they encounter a problem. So, you know, a device, I was trying to to check why this device had failed. I did some diagnostics tests. I had some email IM conversations with the rest of the team. I copy-pasted some device debug logs. And in the end, I tried something. I mean, think of analogy as a software. You know, when we try to repro the steps, we tried some troubleshooting, and then in the end, we will document what was the resolution.
Sure.
Again, all unstructured text, you know, numerical data, that's all dumped into this one, you know, giant ticket that you want to go look into. Of course, it's manually very hard, intensive, and you know, as humans, if we start looking at them, we'll make mistakes.
Yeah.
So what you would like to do is, I mean, it has this rich information because it will say, you know, if device A failed or B failed, why did they fail? What are the problems? But then you want, want a scalable way so that a machine can automatically identify, you know, what was the issue, why it failed, and are we doing a good job in fixing it?
Yeah.
So I won't go into the details of you know, all the things we tried, but the gist was that the outcome, when we did all this analysis, you know, we built a system to understand this freeform text inside these tickets. The answer came out as that, you know, device B is only half as reliable as device A.
Oh, I see.
So, which translates to the check you are writing, you should multiply that eight-figure amount by a factor of 2.5, because that's really going to cost us, right? For every old device we decommission, we have to buy at least two new devices.
Because one will fail half the time.
Exactly, yeah. to replace it. So, and needless to say that the group didn't go with that upgrade.
Yeah.
So that was good. I mean, I think that was a good humbling experience for us to say that, you know, we went in and then, you know, didn't try to look at some, you know, human interviews and things to essentially just get some anecdotal data and then get done with it, but really worked on building a soundproof, you know, data-driven solution that would go look at these, you know, lots and lots of ticketing data and come up with the final answer. So that,
sure.
You know, so you have a proof to say that you can trust our results because this is truly data-driven.
I see.
Right.
And I love the sense of being able to look at, because we have a lot of data just floating everywhere, but I love the idea of getting unstructured text into actionable data.
Mm-hmm.
And you said SysSiv is supposed to help you
Correct.
Do that. So as I'm sitting there, and let's just say SuDev is watching, and she's like, okay, is there like a for loop that I do that it's a for each line, give it to SysSiv? How do I tell SysSiv what I want the output to look like? Do I have to pre-format my text anyway? Can you speak to that a little bit before
Sure.
we actually go through a demo?
Okay, good. So the way to you want to think in terms of SysSiv is, I'll give you the what I call the n equal to one analogy.
Okay.
So if you think in terms of you only have a single piece of feedback text, a single sentence, what do you want to do with it, right? So from that single piece of text, think in terms of analogy to say, can you summarize that information which captures the important text, the important information inside that feedback, right? So that is for every n equal to one, for every piece of feedback, if there is anything actionable, anything important, we want to bubble it up. So think in terms of the entire feedback we get. What we are trying to do is we're essentially trying to build a summary of what's truly important, right? And then the summary is in a structured form. So you can now apply any of your favorite BI tools, you know, Excel, Power BI, you know, pivot charts, other kinds of things. Do not aggregate this information and prioritize it, you know, based on your own group's policies or you know, policy decisions. And overall, the way, I mean, if you think in terms of SysSiv, if I want to describe it in two lines, what we're trying to do is we're trying to, in an unsupervised way, so that it scales, so we're trying to look through your entire data and find out what is, as I said, what is truly important. Right, truly important, and we're then trying to encode this knowledge as think of representing a knowledge as a knowledge mm-hmm. base, right? And then when new piece of information comes in, we are trying to then translate or interpret this. It's like you're trying to learn a new language, right? Same way we are trying to machines understand human language,
right?
So the analogy really is as a humans, when we want to say learn a new language, say French, right? What we would do is if you write me an email in French, I would pick up a dictionary and I will look up every word, every phrase. I will look at the grammar and say, when I compose it, so set actually means this.
Yeah.
Right? Similarly with machines. So we teach them to say, in an unsupervised manner, can you go and automatically extract what is really the important information represent this information, and then I do this translation process to say, as you see this feedback, you have this notion of a dictionary, a knowledge base, and then you interpret whether it's a problem, whether it's a suggestion, whether it's a delighter, whether it's, you know, some rich features that you can now bubble up.
I see. So the system is using unsupervised learning to come up with structures, and then when it gets a new piece of information, it says, this is what I think the structure should be.
Correct.
Do we give it any feedback to make it also a supervised learning problem?
Yes. So essentially, so there are two components, and this is, you know, analogous to in our conventional machine learning, we have an offline learning. Right?
Uh-huh.
So similar, we do this unsupervised learning where we extract what's important and go to knowledge base. And then we have supervised learning, exactly where we show, you know, this is what the system understood. And we ask the user to say, can you give us feedback so we can improve our precision, our recall, our accuracy of the system to say, you know, this is how incrementally can we keep on improving the knowledge we extracted and that we showed to you.
Awesome. And so initially you get this jumble of data, you create some sort of structure out of it using unsupervised learning. Then you give it a new piece of information and it says, this is what I think this is a delighter for this product, but it's actually a suggestion. Then you feed that back into the system, and then does the model get reworked? Or is there a supervised learning model on top of the unsupervised learning one?
So there is supervised learning we essentially think of supervised learning as one of the many components we have in the whole end-to-end pipeline.
I see.
Right. So essentially, we have a notion of NLP. We have a notion from a compiler space. We have a notion of context-free grammars.
Of course.
Right. And then so essentially, we go where the model itself can try to learn as much as it can from the input. But you, as say the domain expert, can also come in and essentially say, you know, I have a very, say from my reporting perspective or from my actionability perspective, I have a very set criteria in which I would like this input or this output from your system to be transformed in my way. And there, exactly as you said, you know, you can give hints to the signal, you can explicitly encode how would you like that output to be. Right? So think of a system has many components which essentially work in an ensemble kind of a thing, which work in harmony to give you this end-to-end view. And then we give you flexibility that, you know, if you don't, as human domain experts, you can get a really good value right out of the box without making it, you know, doing any tuning. But if you would like, you can give us feedback, you can go change the models, and then essentially you can, say, customize or tune it to your own specific domain.
I see. So there's a series of machine learning models and pipelines that happen.
Correct.
So there's some cleansing that's happening beforehand, remove PII. There's probably some grouping or some word counts, or I don't know what you do, that go into the NLP side of it, maybe some n-gram model, I don't know. And then you feed that into the next model until you get something that's really tuned.
Correct.
Sounds awesome. Do you have a demo you can show us?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Okay, so we're at your desk now, and we're going to see sort of what this actually looks like in practice. So why don't you walk us through how this is done? By the way, what kind of program? It looks like we're doing stuff in Python.
Correct.
Fantastic. Right.
So we used Python as for the entire development process. It also has several .NET and C# components for us to really build the end-to-end system. So let's start with you know what our input looks like. So here is an example of input where our customers are giving us. Of course, this is all PII scrubbed, so we only focus on what the feedback is. So feedback, again, could, as we talked earlier, could be very incredibly noisy.
Yeah.
Right? I think the only structure is that there is no structure.
Right.
So you can think in terms of it may not adhere to grammar rules, could have, you know, punctuations or missing information that you have to stitch together. So let's start, for example, a customer input says, I can't text. There is not even an I can text, can't launch. And then there is some comment which essentially says, you know, app, you can really add all your addresses and only once I want to log in. Start keeps on crashing. And this is a good example where you don't know, you know, are you trying to open an app and starting that app crashes, or is it the start menu?
Yeah.
You're calling it as stat that's crashing, right? The 3D glasses are not heavy, so essentially you're giving us some positive reinforcement but telling it in a negative way, right? So something is not too bad, right? And you also get kudos, you know, Cortana is awesome, but you can also have lots of, you know, this run-on feedback where you could talk multiple things to us, you know, essentially talking about some software programs, on one of our hardware devices, and then we would like to some sort of meetings on the calendar, and so on and so forth, right? So feedback could be as short as, you know, a few words,
yeah,
or it could be as long as a very one big
paragraph,
large
yeah,
paragraph, but without any periods in it.
Yeah.
So, right, essentially, you think of it as a one big run-on
run
sentence that
yeah,
keeps on going and going, right? So that's really the flavor of feedback, and really the idea really is that we are not, since we are not, there is no input structure that we are asking customers to give us, and this is really the raw feedback that they would like to tell us, right?
Right.
And our job is to make sure that there is rich information in this incredibly noisy data, but we still want to extract it, we want to make
sure
it actionable and use it, right? So now let me run the system. So this is what you give to the input to SysSev, this unstructured feedback text.
Sure.
And then SysSev, what it would try to do is from this data, it will try to infer, or what we'll call the notion of inference, of this insights, of this actionable information. What are the problems? What are suggestions? What are delighters? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So all this information. So I'm going to start the execution. The system goes and then starts analyzing all this data. Remember, it builds a knowledge base. And then it starts producing the output. And we have several output formats in which you can look at this kind of a data. Right. So let me start with you. Something a very simple Excel view, and then we'll move on to more interactive Power BI dashboards
sure,
later.
Sure.
Right. So here, the system what it found from the input feedback is that, you know, from all this information that we saw earlier from this input set of feedback records, we found about 20 problems. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, even a single feedback could have multiple things. It could say, Cortana is awesome, but you say app XYZ doesn't work for me.
So there are two things in there.
Correct, or more than one, right? And then we see a lot of feedback like that. So here, what system has inferred is we found 20 problems, and then within these problems, we actually could give you very fine-grained information, whether it was a functional problem, right? So if something was not working correctly, it was a reliability problem, it was crashing, you know, performance with security issues, or just performance problems, things are running slow, right? So we can zoom in to say, you know, things are heating issues, or the one of the programs, the Bitdefender virus programs, was running pretty slow. Right? Or when you look in terms of reliability, something was crashing for the customer, right? So we can give you very, very, so you can go within engineering organizations, we have, you know, a performance team, a reliability team, a security team, right? So you can, given this feedback, out of the box, you can start sending the right feedback to the right team to say, here is the concrete actions you want to take.
And even with the reliability one, the third item there, they conflict and disable, I mean, that's not a word, I don't think, with Service Pro, which kills the awesome. You can tell that this is effectively a reliability problem.
Correct.
Even though it's, like, it's hard, like, I would have had a hard time as a human putting it in the right spot, but it feels like that's the right thing.
That's right, exactly, right? So machines can avoid this kind of ambiguity. In fact, they can learn to deal with ambiguity to say, can we go and understand the customer intent when they're trying to give us this whole feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can essentially deal with ambiguity to say, what are the possible different ways I could interpret this?
Mm-hmm.
And then can I now build, in terms of output, a probability distribution to say, which is the most likely intent?
Sure, sure.
Right, so exactly. So that's one of the problems. And think of, again, problems as potential bugs. So you can now
take
this feedback to the user. Similarly with suggestions. Suggestions are saying, well, we like your product, but, you know, I would like to see some enrichment, some enhancement, some improvements in which I could use it, right? So in here particularly, the feedback is I want a particular app to fit onto the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to use Narrator also in setup and boot menu from what it already is, right? So again, if you think in terms of giving it to a human, it's hard for us to really pinpoint to say, yeah, I think it kind of means this, but what is it really? But as we can teach machines over time, they can say, well, yes, there could be several possibilities, but what is the most actionable output that I can derive from this kind of feedback?
So there might have been more text everywhere else around that, but it only pulled out the actionable text.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's really the key, right? That essentially, we talked about cleansing earlier. So if you think in terms of this as a dual of cleansing, right? We are not trying to remove what's unimportant or useless information. We are trying to really zoom in on what's actionable, what's important from all this feedback text. And I think that that's really the key, because noise is an endless process. If you're trying to denoise the data, you can keep going on and on. But if once you start zooming into what's important, you know, things start bubbling up, which are really important.
Like, for example, the "we would like to have a staff calendar" might have been embedded in a long post that had several problems and a suggestion, but you're just pulling out exactly what is actionable.
Correct. That's right. So So that's a notion of suggestion. And then we have a notion of a non-delighter. Non-delighter is a customer who is, you know, not pleased with or not happy with the way things are working, right? So essentially here, you can go into more fine-grained areas. Sure. Which this is a security issue, right? The password policy translation is not correct. So they are not very specific to say, you know, whether it was, you know, an error with configuring it or something else. It just essentially says that it's not correct. That means that, you know, we as an engineering team needs to look into. But having from all this big, you know, large amount of feedback, can we zoom in to for each individual team to say, what is my feedback that pertains to me? So I don't need to worry about other things. Really, can you tell me what is really important or actionable for me to act upon?
Because not only are you putting it into the right buckets, but you're delivering the bucket that people are interested in.
Correct.
Got it.
And then within that bucket, we actually even go down, and that's where I'll show you the structure next, where we can now see, you know, the problem. It's not just I'm telling you, hey, there is some problem. I'll actually tell you that here's a problem with what we call the notion of entity, uh-huh. Right? So here in this particular case, the password policy translation is the entity. So think of entity as, I mean, an English analogy is the noun.
Yeah. Right?
What is that product? What is that feature that the customer is or service or customer is complaining about? And the state, think of analogy again as a verb or an adjective or an adverb. I mean, we don't use those things, but it's good to think of things, you know, think in terms of those ways. For example, in English, we say a sentence typically has a noun and a verb. Right. Similarly, when you start thinking in terms of feedback, we are essentially saying there is some entity that the customer is talking about. They're having maybe problems with, say, some Skype calling. That's the entity. And then they might tell us what is the, you know, exact issue that they might be having. Essentially, maybe the audio quality could be better, or I see some jitter or lag sometimes. Right. So that's the state, the context in which, you know, they're describing that particular issue. Right? So that's, think of that as now, both from a routing perspective, you can take the feedback, route it to the right teams so that they can act upon. And then not just that, we can go deeper into what really is that feedback all about, right? So I'll show you a little busy chart, but this is good for understanding, and then we'll go to a Power BI interactive dashboard, right?
Okay.
So here, if you look on this particular column S, which is the analyzed text, so this is really the text which had the actionable information from this unstructured data.
So this is the actionable items from the unstructured text.
Correct. Correct. Right. And then from there we will start, you know, inferring, extracting what is important. Right. So here, if you think in terms of virus program, my Bitdefender virus program is pretty slow. Right. So system will essentially infer that here is the entity, and here is a corresponding state
that
entity is associated with, and that's what the customer is telling us, right? So now, if you think in terms of prioritization, you can say, if I ask you the question, give me the top three programs or products or services that our customers are complaining about, right? So then what you would do is, you would run the sieve on it, right? Look at this fine-grained information view, and then you just do a group by.
Yeah.
It's just some simple aggregate now, right? Simpler. And then, here's another good example where customer feedback was heating issues. They didn't tell us what product or what service. We could go look at the metadata in some cases to say maybe, you know, that gives some maybe what device they are using or some battery pack. So here what the system does is essentially tries to learn to say, well, I didn't find any entity. Remember, we didn't tell it anything.
Yeah.
I didn't find any entity, but a customer gave me a problem, right? So essentially here the inference is it's a problem. And the particular state, it's about heating, right? So now I will put a placeholder as an unknown entity, and if you as a domain expert may have some metadata that you can, you know, replace this placeholder with, say, for example, they were having problems with some OEM device or what kind of hardware, right? So that's another example, right? So that's about it in terms of the fine-grained information. Let me show you, you know, the how do you you know, have rich interactions with this data. So here I'm going to show you this. Run on a little bit large data set, the Power BI dashboard which our teams see as the output when they when they're unsuccessive on their input data.
I see. So that is the source of the data that spreadsheet like thing that you generated?
I mean, think of spreadsheet as
data source.
As one of the data sources, right? Typically our feedback is millions of records every day.
So
they won't fit in a spreadsheet, right? So you for that you need some large, storage systems such as in our cloud platform, such as Azure or our internal cloud platform such as Cosmos. So that all this, and again, this is not feasible for a human teams to go and look at it.
Sure.
So you really have now these services. So SysSiv now runs both. You can run it on your machine, but it also runs as a service in Cosmos. It runs as a service in Azure. It runs as a service in our Azure Data Lake for our public customers to use. So then what you really need to just do it, you can just need to plug in your input data. And out of the box, SysSiv will give you these actionable insights. And as you know, think in terms of rich Power BI dashboards that you can now start playing with and interacting with. Right?
So Azure Data Lake now is this huge pipeline because, let's just say, every day you scrape the forums, and then you put that into the pipeline for Azure Data Lake, and then the process goes through, and then in the end, the data sort of is put into wherever it's put, and then you can visualize it inside.
Absolutely, exactly. I think it's really that notion of even the process of extracting the data can be automated, right? So now teams can look in their daily dashboards to say, how are things trending, right? So for example, we have, Skype team is one of the big users of SysSiv, same with Windows and MSIT, even Office 365, right? So where they actually have built dashboards where they plug in their data source and then in the background SysSiv is analyzing all the data and it continuously refreshes those views to say, what is trending? What is hot right now?
Right.
And if we fix some things, have we started seeing improvements on it, right?
And so this is an example of the type of dashboard you can build on that data, but it's not necessarily a representation of all you can do.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see what you got.
Okay, so here is, again, think of this as a starting view of what, from the feedback data, what all issues we find, right? So think in terms of satisfaction as when people were satisfied with product, gave us delighters. Dissatisfied, we're thinking of putting in these three higher level categories to say. Dissatisfied means either you were not pleased or happy with our product, or you actually were having some problems. So if you look at the legend on the top, we are saying problems in red, and non-delighters all go to this bucket. Satisfaction is people liked our product. And then suggestions is, it's not a notion of like or dislike, but they would like to see our products evolved in a specific way.
As programmers, though, suggestions means we're doing something already right, so we have a pretty good base. So I like these numbers look pretty good. I mean, when you're comparing the dissatisfied versus the satisfied suggestions, that's pretty good.
Yes. Alicia. Right. So, and then beyond that, right, essentially you want to start digging into, again, this notion of teams to say, is it a usability issue, functionality issue, reliability issue? And think of perceived value as what, in the industry we have these NSAT, CSAT metrics,
sure.
Customer satisfaction, net satisfaction. So, how is the perceived value for a product on which we got this feedback across our customer base, right? So this gives you very, very fine-grained detail information that, there are some privacy issues, some compatibility issues, some accessibility issues, right? That where customers may be telling us that, hey, I would like to give you some suggestions that you can improve how this product, right? How this product behaves or how my experience with it.
Sure.
Right. Here are some concept problems, and then you can, again, we still give you the ability to go look at the raw feedback if you need to, right? Because as humans, we may want to go and say, okay, let me just look at some representative, some sampling to say, okay, how would this relate? Is this giving me some other information that I could potentially use, right?
So now, is this all of the information you fed into this particular dashboard, or is it a subset?
So this is just think of one of the views, right?
Got
so
it.
From the Excel I showed you, that's a SysSiv output.
Sure.
And then what this is doing is think of a Power BI template, which essentially says, what are the different pivots by which I can show you the data so that you think of a reporting structure that now different teams may essentially say, oh, I want to look at how dissatisfied versus satisfied our customers are, or I want to look at the overall trends or how it's distributed across these different feature areas, right? And then we can start looking into this again, double clicking and going one level deeper to say, what are the different things that people are talking about our products? And here it really is this notion of let me click on actionable, where things are really talking about problems that they're having with our particular products, right? So here, essentially, there was some issue with the Outlook that the people weren't able to see a specific, you know, mail or some specific feature that they were trying to access, right? Issues with mobile reliability, where you can now go and double click to say, you know, I can't record sound while I was filming, right? So we can even give you that particular slice of feedback that was associated with this, right? So you are the engineering team. The way you want to use this kind of a view to say that now I want to prioritize how should I go about fixing these products or issues, right? So I can essentially say, let me look at the biggest bucket where I'm looking at these particular problems, right? Some features are missing, right? That little words crashes on launch and simple apps takes a long time to load. So all these problems, then I can go and essentially say, okay, which is the biggest bucket that I should first chase, fix it, so that I can, you know, improve productivity for a large fraction of my customers, then I should go to the next one, so on and so forth, right? So this prioritization is a key for a lot of our engineering teams to say, lots of feedback coming in, how should we take a look at it and really make sure that we fix the first thing that is impacting a large fraction of our user base.
Right? This is pretty amazing. So, I mean, I'm sure there's tons more we can talk about, but where can people go? Is this something that people can use, or is this something we just want to show, like, look, we're really obsessed on making sure that you're happy. Is SysCiv something that people can go download and check out?
Yes, absolutely. So for SysCiv, we have links where you can go and download it. Currently, it's a Microsoft service. So let me just pull up the links. So
and let's bring it over to the other window so people can see it. There we go.
Right. So here, currently within Microsoft, you can go and download SysCiv from CodeBox. We have the entire code base, case studies, presentations, even videos. We have given three SysCiv workshops, you know, attended by about 70, 80 folks across all of Microsoft. Cool. We have all the videos there. There's a DL, SysCivDL at Microsoft.com, where you can, you know, go and do any discussions, ask questions, give feedback, input. And then, as I mentioned, we have services running across Azure, Cosmos, Data Lake, where you can just literally plug in your data and get SysCiv output, you know, automatically analyzed and generated from your input data. And that's, you know, essentially, today SysCiv is, in fact, the most widely used text analytics systems for customer feedback, you know, from across all of Windows, to Skype, MSIT, Office 365, that, you know, teams, in fact, even in Azure and Bing are piloting it. So we have quite a large user base. For external release, we're in discussions with teams to, you know, offer it as a public service, but currently those are confidential discussions for now, but, you know, hopefully we want to release this to our external customers as well.
And this is awesome because, I mean, there's people that are gonna ask, well, I wanna do this. But even if, because the answer will come maybe soon, maybe later, but the awesomeness of this is how we've spent a long time wanting to understand the feedback that people are giving us to all of our products, and we've gone through some serious engineering, because this is not a trivial thing. Well, this has been awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. So we have been learning all about, and sorry, I'm turning around because I'm looking at you. We've been learning all about SysCiv and how to actually do actionable work on your comments to our products. My name is Seth Juarez. Again, I'm in Building 12. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.